It's 9 o'clock on the first Friday of the month, first day of September, and here is Sandra the Plant Lady and the Plant Rant, made possible by Baker Orchards at Centuria.
Good morning. Fall, my favorite time of the year.
Is it really?
My favorite, or yeah. Is it fall?
No, is it your favorite?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
So beautiful, and the days are cool, but still nice, and all the colors that start to happen.
That's true. It's going to belie you tomorrow, though, because it's not going to be nice. It's going to be 95 degrees.
You know, I heard rumor about that, but...
But you're not believing it.
We'll see. Well, yeah. I don't believe it until I go out and experience it normally with the weather. Like that, saying the thunderstorm tonight?
Yeah.
I hope that's true.
Let's hope.
I'm really hoping for that.
Lord knows we need it.
It is so dry.
I know.
So speaking of Baker Orchard, for the community calendar this month, the Baker Orchard Art Festival is September 23rd and 24th. Those who have been out there before know it is just a great event. Lots of food vendors, fresh pressed cider, apples, and artists just all over the property and in the barn. And it's just such a beautiful setting. So be sure to check that out. It's always the fourth weekend, and that happens the 23rd and 24th. And again, thank you, Baker Orchard, for sponsoring Plant Rant. We haven't had this in a while, but I actually have a question from a listener for this month. And the question reads, walnut trees are toxic to many plants and other varieties of trees growing in nearby. Can you tell me this? Since the roots of a walnut tree carry a toxin unfriendly to certain plants, when cutting the tree down, is there a certain period of time necessary to wait before doing any other planting where the tree grew? How long do these toxins in the tree roots last and affect the soil? Thanks. And that's from Betty. Thank you, Betty. So the chemical is called juglone. And, you know, honestly, I have to say, I have a black walnut tree in one of my gardens now. And I had a very large one in my yard in La Crosse. And I have never had any problems with anything dying from the juglone. I know certain plants, tomatoes are one, so you wouldn't probably do your veggie garden. But typically, you're not going to put your vegetables in an area where there's some shade anyways. But the research that I did, and I used the University of Iowa and the University of Minnesota, which it was interesting because they kind of didn't exactly say the same thing. But so mainly the chemical is gone once those roots are composted, but also the chemical breaks down when it's exposed to air and water and bacteria. So even if those roots are taking longer to get composted in the ground, breaking up that soil and getting those roots exposed to the air and water, and then there's natural bacteria that take care of that. So you can always do a little experiment. You know, I wouldn't plant a whole garden, but maybe plant one or two things that you know are susceptible to the juglone and put those in and see how they respond. And if the one does well, you know, then you could get more varieties and continue to add to it once you know how they're going to respond. So it sounds like just time and composting. So I hope, Betty, that answers your question. And if not, reach out again. Well, it is Minnesota State Fair time right now. And my guest this morning, I'm super excited because I want to learn more about this, and especially after working the booth at our Polk County Fair in July. So Bonnie Schvichtenberg is my guest today, and she is a National Garden Club accredited life judge. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Sandra.
Thank you so much for being my guest today on Plant Rant.
You're welcome, and it's a pleasure. I wanted to say just at the start that I too planted a black walnut tree from the walnut in our yard, and as my husband and I saw it growing from a stick to a very thin trunk, my daughter decided to dig what she referred to as a crescent garden around the tree. And she planted a lot of irises and daylilies. And I, too, did not have any problem with those particular flowering plants. And the tree is still growing. It's quite large now. And we have put turf in. And it doesn't seem to be bothering the grasses at all. But I do know that there are plants that put out a retardant, and a real common one is sumac, that things just don't grow near it. And so I would recommend that if she has flowers or would like to have flowers right now, put one or two tomato plants and see how the seedlings do. And if they seem to prosper, then probably with the sun, because the tree will be gone, and maybe one growing season later, that you start planting a garden, I don't think it's going to bother it at all.
Thank you so much. That is great advice. And I absolutely love that you have a black walnut tree that you started from a walnut. That is beautiful.
Yeah, we put in six, and we got two that went to sprout, to germinated. And one looked a little better than the other, so we really just wanted one.
And how many years have they been growing?
Oh, really? Almost 40 years.
So do you have a mature walnut now from that seed?
Yes, and many walnuts, and squirrels just love them.
That is great. Does that help keep them out of your bird feeders then if they have another food source?
No, not a bit.
But
we do have something that's fairly good. We actually removed the bird feeder to be no closer than 10 aerial feet from anything they could jump from to land on the bird feeder. And then we put what looks like an upside-down cup. It's a plastic cup that you can screw on to the pipe below the bird feeder. And that was actually very effective, except for one squirrel, and that squirrel passed away.
Oh, well, you'll know when the acrobatic offspring are around if they picked up that trait.
That really kind of took care of it, because that was a particularly strong squirrel and could jump more than the average 10 feet that squirrels will generally try.
Oh, that's funny. So National Garden Club accredited life judge. So how did you become a judge? Like, what led you to becoming a National Garden Club judge?
Well, I'm not positive why I became a judge. I certainly didn't know it was going to be as hard as it was. But I'm quite interested in botanical plant names, and it's just a thing I do. And so I thought that I could help my fellow colleagues when some of them aren't particularly interested in all the botanical names, but most of them are very good at it. And we would discuss things as we're judging. We judge in groups of three. And I just found it very rewarding. And I found that the other judges, some are master judges, which is the end of the line of progression. And I just found it very interesting to be able to see all the plants, because I didn't grow everything. And so I learned a whole lot. It's actually very educational to judge a flower show.
Well, yeah, and I'm realizing we should back up. So what is a National Garden Club accredited life judge? Maybe is familiar with what we're even talking about.
I certainly wasn't when I started. It's a judge that has completed four three-day courses and a three-hour examination on horticulture and floral design at the end of each course. And you have to pass with a 70. So by the time you've taken all four courses, you've studied horticulture and floral design extensively. And floral design has eight elements that you have to focus on to see if all the portions of the design have one of the eight elements, and at least, or maybe as many as possible. And there's a point system for designs. So, and horticulture, it just requires knowing the correct botanical name, because if an exhibit, which is usually one flower stuck in a glass ear bubble, if one has something like mum, and the other one has chrysanthemum. Let's see, I should pick one that I actually can come up with the two names. I might have to come back to that, because I want to think on that. But someone may say daisy, and the other person will say agapanthemum, and then they all do the cultivar, shaggy daisy. And there's a special way they need to write it. And so the one that said daisy, if it was a very good specimen, it still wouldn't, it would have lost 5 points for not having the correct name. So it likely would not win a top award.
Well, and it's challenging with the mums, because there's lacanthemum, chrysanthemum, agaranthemum, like you just said. So, yeah. And then when you have common names, many things can be called a daisy,
right.
Or, and so that's, and I love botanic names. It's so much fun.
I actually really like it. I studied Latin in high school, and I found it helpful to this day to understand conversations and words. But most people who grow flowers for the beauty and enjoyment of them, and they may or may not decide they want to learn the difference. One name that is really common is, there are several plants that are completely different called snow in the mountain. And so it's important to know which one you're exhibiting.
Interesting. So so who offers these classes that you take? Where would one go to learn to do this?
Yes, the National Garden Club trains judges, and so there's even further schooling if you want to be a National Garden Club accredited judge instructor. But everybody else who judges National Garden Show events has to be accredited. Although I will say that most of us support the local county fairs, and even though they don't have the same rules and numbers of classes and numbers of designs, we still do judge them as a service to the community, and we try and do a really thorough job. I believe there are other national or United States garden clubs, and I don't really know if they have training like the NGC does, but the training that we take is extensive, because even after the four classes and the four three-hour tests, every 3 years you have to re-up with what is called a symposium, and that's 2 days.
Do you get to travel then? Do different parts of the country host these symposiums?
Yes, sometimes. I usually try to take one that's close by, because it's on our checkbook, not theirs.
Right.
And we even pay a tuition to take them. So most of my, I did take one in Florida when I was just getting started, and we used to winter there. But the other three required classes I've taken in the Wisconsin and Minnesota area. And now I'm starting to do symposiums in Iowa, because they have one every 3 years. And so it's not that far, but, you know, then we support ourselves in our hotel and our meals, and it's because we like judging and we like the education.
And you mentioned eight elements that when you're judging, what are the eight elements? The name sounds like that was one, having a botanic name and a correct botanic name.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look it up.
Okay.
Well, I'm not prepped.
Well, we can talk about other things too. So what do you look for in, like, so you said mainly there's individual stems in bottles, but are there some floral designs as well where people are putting together groupings?
Yes.
What's your favorite thing to judge? What do you like?
Well, at first when I started, the only thing I knew how to make was bouquet. And there are only three categories that all come from one point in the vase. As I got going, and you have to enter accredited flower shows also in order to remain a judge. You have to judge so many times, and you have to enter.
Oh, and be judged.
In this 3 years. Yes. Mm-hmm. And when we are doing an NGC accredited flower show, the judge chairperson works very hard to not have the group of three judges judge something that they've exhibited in. And that's very helpful when you don't have to judge your own exhibit. And sometimes, if that's not possible, then we usually have a spare judge in the waiting in case someone becomes ill or just gets too tired standing. That person will stand in, or if they are needed in that group of three because one of the judges has an exhibit in that category.
So you have a backup plan.
Yes.
I like
it. Right.
So is the Minnesota State Fair a National Garden Club?
The open show is not, but we always accept an invitation to judge there just so that they have enough judges, because it's quite a large show. And we know that these exhibitors are interested in the environment and in conservation. And so we do go and judge it. We use the standards. They're quite strict as far as giving top awards. In every category, there can be only one blue, one red, that would be second, one yellow, which would be third, but we can offer as many honorable mentions as are worthy.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And some we just say no ribbon. It's usually because they've put their design usually not a design. It's usually because they've put their flower stem excuse me, in their own category, and it doesn't meet the standards of that particular cultivar.
What are some of the categories?
Well, let's see. There is, I'm just going to punch in something here.
Yeah, no problem.
Because let me just get my
Yeah, it's always interesting. It seems like when I've looked at plants that have been judged, and you wonder, like, well, why did this one get picked and not this one, and how do they decide? And I know with Polk County, the gal who judged there did like a small video and just picked out, you know, like three different lilies, and you know, divide how she chose this one over this because of it being still in bud on one third and open, and explained a little bit. But it's, people are like, oh, I would have picked this one instead of that one. Or, so it's kind of fun to know.
There's a lot of the classifications are there'll be a line design, which has some kind of strong line of flowers going in one particular direction, or it can be in an L. There are mass designs. There are abstract designs. There are duo designs, which is interesting to make. It's kind of one of my favorites. They are abstract. Abstract designs have more... the space is sometimes filled up with just space, sometimes with leaves, sometimes with flowers, and they can go in different directions. But in a duo design, you put contrasting designs in the same container. So one side might be hard, and that would be maybe lotus pods that are dried and dried branches. And then you usually separate the design, so if you turn it around, it might be soft. So that might have cotton balls on their stems, or it might have Fuji mums that are very lacy. And they're really fun to do. There's light and dark. There's any two things that would contrast winter and summer. So that's a really fun design. And then as I got into judging and to making designs, we all have a plethora of different containers. And some are very abstract and pottery, handmade. Others are acrylic plastic. I have one that has several half moons that are arranged in an attractive way. And so if we are making a design that's abstract or creative, then we might only have two or three orchids and some foliage. And so that design would have a very modern look. Or if we're making a mass design, we may put a dozen roses and leather fern and things that are commonly found in a florist. So a design, a floral design in the National Garden Club, you may purchase the floral material. Sometimes you have to have all live plants. Sometimes you have to have all dried plants. And in the exhibit, in the horticultural exhibit section of the flower show, which is usually much larger than the design section, the exhibitor must have grown it in their own garden. They can't have purchased it.
Okay, I just want to clarify. There's a design category, yeah, where then you are choosing your vessel that it's going in, the container. You can buy the flowers, and it's more about the arrangement. So like that duo where you use the contrast, yes, and maybe it's kind of two-sided, versus the actual horticulture entries where the individual is growing it themselves. And then is that typically more the single stem specimens, yes, then where you're trying to find that ideal example of delphinium or something?
Symmetry. If you're there's a large potted plant section in the horticulture group, and that's called the division. There's usually up to five or six divisions, and I'll tell you what the others are in like just a minute. But if it's a plant, it may have come from another country, so you can exhibit it if you've owned it for, and the schedule will say 6 months. Or 3 months. It's hardly ever less than 3 months.
And those would be like your tropical house plants, that,
yes,
kind of thing?
Absolutely, right. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a category for non-flowering plants and grasses, and there's a category for flowering plants in containers. Everything else is in a bottle. And we typically use clear or brown bottles for a show so that it's uniform. And a beer bottle is, you have to take off all the labels and everything. It's actually a very attractive one to have if you have maybe 10 that you're judging in that class.
Is there a woody plant material?
Yes, yes there is. There's two kinds of wood. There's wood that isn't alive. Maybe it's been carved or something. And then there's wood that you cut off. So that's in the arboreal category, and it's separate. And it includes branches from flowering fruit trees or branches of fruit trees that are in that are fruited, especially crab apples.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
Yes, they really are. They're beautiful as the flowers, and they're beautiful as the fruit. But there are lots of little tiny fruiting branches, and the schedule will tell you it has to be more than 18 inches and less than 36 in a glass bottle. We often use wedges in our horticultural exhibits because we want the exhibit to stand as straight as possible. So we'll use wedges like pieces of celery or styrofoam or actual wooden wedges that someone has gotten a very kind person to saw for them. And we have all of those. Rhubarb is another really good wedge because it doesn't detract from the plant. When you're exhibiting grasses and you want a nice tall bunch for plumes, the grasses won't really stay in the bottle nice and straight unless you have a wedge.
Oh, so you're sliding it in along the stem.
Yes.
Inside the bottle to keep them together. Kind of like a flower frog or something where you're keeping it.
Yeah, right. You want it to be upright and just curving back or upright and curving forward. When I started judging, and when I started exhibiting, I was real surprised because I had a significantly large hosta collection, both miniatures where the leaves were only an inch or an inch and a half long, to large ones that the leaves were 18 to 20 inches long. And so the way you show a hosta in a flower show is in a horticultural exhibit, and you show one leaf.
Right.
Or if it's a miniature, sometimes you show two leaves, and they have to be exactly alike. They can't be.
Then you need a really tiny jar.
Yeah. Yes, I have some real small jars. Some of the jars are only about 2 inches tall.
Is there a category for vines and vines?
Yes, there is. For instance, clematis or clematis. That's considered a vine, and that's a separate category. But there are other ones, kiwi plants, and let's see.
Hops? Does anyone enter hop? Because hops can be grown for garland for the floral industry.
Hops, did you say?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes, hops.
Hops. Well, hops are difficult because they don't really come to fruiting until the end of the year, and sometimes they miss most fairs. So we don't see a lot of hops. But we do see some, like we'll see them in the state fair.
Yeah, because the timing is right now for the Minnesota State Fair.
Yes. And the flower show, the state fair starts on the Thursday before last. That's set up day. Excuse me, an exhibit day, but the open show is the following Monday and Tuesday. And then in the past, we've had a very significant and substantial National Garden Club show right following the open show. And a lot of the exhibitors will enter in both shows, which is fine because they usually have extensive gardens. And well, it's just happened recently, especially during the pandemic when there wasn't a state fair. that our exhibitors in the design floral design club that I belong to are older. We're all at least 70, except for a few new members, which we're very excited about.
Well, hopefully today we can get more people interested. And I hate to cut you off, Bonnie. I would love to continue to talk. We are running out of time here for this month's show, but maybe I can have you on again. I hope folks, if they get out to the State Fair, can go and look at these exhibits and see more about what you're talking about. So thank you, Bonnie Schvichtenberg, National Garden Club Accredited Life Judge. People can look into becoming one if they want. And again, thank you, Baker Orchard, for supporting Plant Rant. Please check out the Orchard Art Festival September 23rd and 24th. We'll see you next month, everyone. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.